I was on a call with my accountant, or it was, sorry, it's a brand new accountant that we have. And he stopped halfway through the conversation. He goes, Chad, I could listen to your voice all day. I'm like, it's kind of me, but it's mostly this amazing mic.
It's what it is. I know. It's funny because now I get on to like just video conferences with, you know, whoever, just business related stuff. And I'm using this whole setup and they're always kind of surprised. They're like, whoa, wait, you got headphones, a huge microphone.
They have their little earpods in. Like, yeah. Whoa, you have a whole setup.
I know. Well, you know, the funny thing is I used to actually unhook all this because I didn't want to be like that guy. Like, oh, look at all this and everything. Yeah. But then I thought it's just a pain in the ass because then I got to switch over to the camera. Right. And it's like I have to make it a lesser quality. It takes a lot more effort than ones it's already set up.
For the sake of not sounding good for someone.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I don't want to sound so good. This is just a meeting.
And I'm going to spend more time sounding less good. From the depths of 2022, we are back with another episode of Chad and Steve Have a Podcast, the podcast with the most predictable, unpredictable schedule on any podcast platform.
We'll post whatever we damn well
it's
feel like.
It's true. I mean, the reason why you haven't heard from us is varied. I'm sure we'll get into the nitty-gritty of all of that in just a minute. But before I go any further, I wanted to take this opportunity to thank each and every one of you who are listening right now, right at the beginning of this episode. We often joke that kind of like no one listens to this podcast, but after not doing it for a little while and then coming back to it, it seems like a warm, familiar old coat. So thank you for everyone who right now is listening to a new episode of Chad and Steve Have a Podcast. We really do thank you for your support. And we do thank you for your time. So without further ado, let's get back to the business of making a podcast. My name is Chad Reynolds. I'm the executive producer. I'm the co-creator of Clean My Space. And the man over there, about 3,000 or so miles away from me, in a much warmer climate than I am here, is Steve Ramsey, the creator and the only producer of Woodworking for Mere Mortals. Steve, it's been a minute.
I don't know if it's that much warmer here. We're sitting at like 37 degrees right now. We're at our coldest spot. I don't know how to translate that to Celsius. I have to Google that. But it's like just barely above freezing.
That's about, that's just a couple degrees. That's maybe like 6 degrees or 5 degrees.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, if it makes you feel any better, today is negative 21 here in the Great White North. We have probably about 18 inches of snow and more on the way, but that's what we
do. You know what? One of the things that when I listen to other podcasts, one of the things that really drives me crazy is when they start a podcast talking about the weather. And here we go. That was what I led with.
But we'll just clip it out and then
You know what though you mentioned is when you were saying how we joke about how we don't get anybody to listen to this podcast, which is kind of funny because we actually do get quite a few listeners.
Thank you to everyone who we quietly insult by saying
I know. It's like you're very important because every time we post a new episode, like, holy crap, it's a lot of people listening to this dumb little show of ours, and I really like it. I really like coming back to do this show, even though, like you said, we have we have no schedule anymore. It's just like no all schedule. Over the place.
It ends up just being a place where we complain about YouTube and whatever. But I've learned so much from doing this over the however long. It's been over 2 years now that we've been doing this. I've learned so very much, and it actually made me make New Year's resolutions this year, I think.
I made a couple too.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
I think everybody was ready for New Year's resolutions because, I mean, obviously coming out of COVID and just being so locked down. So everybody's like, oh, yeah, I have a resolution or whatever. But also just kind of personally, it felt like I felt like I was in a funk. So I thought it was a really perfect time to put some like stereotypical resolutions together. No, not stereotypical, but stereotypical in the sense of like starting a year with like a set of goals. Yeah. Maybe I shouldn't call them resolutions. Maybe we should just call them determinations. New Year's determinations.
Yeah, because see, I think this is the perfect time to talk about it too, February. Because it's like, here we are, now we can see how those have come along over the course of a month.
And some of the superficial ones maybe have fallen away and maybe some deep-rooted ones have stuck in. What were you going to say?
I think that it's resolutions get a bad rap these days. A lot of people, like, if you ask most people, they'll say, no, I don't make resolutions. It's dumb. Or they'll say, well, it's not a resolution unless you have very specific goals and you need to meet a very... And I'm kind of the opinion where, yeah, it's good to have goals and actual things you can measure and milestones to reach. But there's really nothing wrong with saying it. I would like to be a friendlier person this year. I would like to be the person who starts a conversation with strangers. Of course, that's a squishy goal. There's no way of measuring that. But just to have that in your mind and be thinking, this is sort of the way I want to view myself throughout this year, is a good starting point, I think. And there's nothing wrong with that.
And as you get older, you realize how important it is to challenge yourself to do, like, the things that I'm challenging, like, seem the most difficult, but they actually are arguably the simplest. I looked up the definition of the word resolution, and it's like taking a complex da-da-da and making it a simpler process, making a determination to do something. And I was like, but none of these, like, exercising every day, that's not difficult to do, but it ends up being far more difficult than the quote-unquote complex problems I deal with in my business or I deal with in other areas. So I made all of my goals kind of selfish. I only have a few, but and then you can we'll go back and forth and we'll share our resolutions.
Sure.
All right. So the first one's really predictable, but exercise, meditate, and walk every day. It's something that I start, like, when I went through kind of this discovery of ADHD and kind of like changes and all the rest, meditation and exercise and walking every day helped to get through kind of like low periods. And then you get to a place where you realize that, like, once you're kind of out of that low period and you're getting good, the toughest thing is to build that into a routine when you're starting to feel good about yourself and you already have a couple of muscles and you're whatever, like, to kind of keep it going.
So let's unpack that a bit. What exercise... what was it?
Exercise, meditate, and walk.
How are you approaching that on a daily basis? Do you have a schedule? Are you doing them in sequence all at once, or is this spread out throughout the day?
I try to get them done as early as possible, because then you can check them off your list. I've learned using lists is very effective and whatnot. So with exercise, it's either formally exercise, as in get on the Peloton or lift some weights, or if I have a day where I know I'm doing a whole bunch of, you know, whatever physical labor around the house or whatnot, that pretty much checks the box as far as exercise is concerned. I usually get 18,000 steps and I'm doing a lot of lifting and da da da. Meditating every day is not an issue at all. That has become the easiest thing to, like, in the morning to, like, just spend 5 minutes, like, resetting yourself or getting ready for the day, or 5 minutes at the end of the day, kind of like figuring a way to calm yourself. And meditation, kind of once you get good at it, is easy. And walking, I find, is one of the most effective things one can do. But one of the easiest things to, like, it's just a walk. Like, it doesn't get mentioned the same that exercise does or eating good does.
It's one of the best forms of exercise you can do.
Mentally, just taking a break from a problem, going for a walk, and, like, no mute, like, get your earphone, like, don't listen to it, but, like, walk, like, and just whatever, and kind of like whatever. It helps you get in tune in a way that, like, a drug would, or you know, something along those lines. So those were the three that I decided to do every day. And here today on, what is it, February 1st, I'm pleased as punch to say I have managed to do those every single day.
Good for you.
Thank you.
I'll check back with you in July and see how it's going.
I
think that is it. That's a doable goal, definitely.
We'll do a resolution check. The second one isn't so much a goal as a resolution, affirmation more so, like you were talking about. Like when you just say something, and I want to improve my sleep. I don't know quite what is wrong with my sleep, but I know that sleep is one of the most important things in my life right now, especially for cognitive and brain health and all of that other good stuff, getting good, restful, sound sleep. So I want to investigate what that looks like and learn how to get a better sleep schedule. Because right now, do you have a sleep? Do you sleep on a sleep schedule?
I'm like really regular, and it's one of the things that's really helped me out so much over the years is sleep, exercise, and diet. You know, those are the three biggies to maintaining a healthy lifestyle. And for me, when I started really having a schedule of sleeping, I'm pretty much in bed at 10 o'clock every night. And even even on weekends when I don't have to be, I'm like, well, might as well go to bed. And then I'm almost always up at about 5:30 or 5:45. Never set an alarm. I get up. And just having that schedule, I don't get tired throughout the day. Sometimes it used to be I would be like 2 o'clock. I was like, oh man, I could just use a nap or something. And then I would just fall asleep. And I don't have that anymore. And I think that has really helped a lot, just being on that schedule. And it may just be my age. I can't handle those late nights anymore. I mean, sure, occasionally if we're out doing something, it'll be, you know, post midnight before I get into bed. But then I just kind of feel weird the next morning. I'm like, oh man, I didn't get my full sleep.
Do you feel it's like because you're getting older or just because you're being more honest with yourself? Because that's what I find it ends up being. It's like I'm just being more honest with myself and I'm saying I'm tired right now and I don't have that youthful ignorance to be like, I'm just going to push through and realize how it affects. Like, there's always that thought of like, yeah, but tomorrow I'll suffer because I'm getting a lot done today. But I'm assuming that 5:30 in the morning is probably one of the best times of your day. Like, those morning hours, they're very predictable for you. Like, what do you do when, what's your morning routine when you wake up?
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of thing. Because one of the things I'm trying to do with my life is not be so predictable and trying to break routines. I know people like to establish routines, but I think routines can also kind of get us in a rut. But in the morning, I definitely have a routine because that's just, I don't want to think. And I get up, first thing I do is head right to my coffee machine and make a cup of coffee. I cannot do anything without a cup of coffee. And then I sit down and then I do a crossword puzzle on my phone and catch up on some YouTube and stuff. And I do phone time in the morning, you know, sit there looking at my phone. And then that usually lasts for 40, 45 minutes. And then I go take a shower and start my day.
Is anybody else in the house while you're doing this, or is it just you? Is everybody else sleeping?
I usually... Well, on weekends, of course, I'm always the first one up because
I'm taking that
schedule.
Like, how many hours do you get on a Saturday waking up at 5:30 in the morning before you get any kind of company?
You know what's great is on weekends, and especially when we're having this cold weather like this, is, and I'm telling you, Chad, you got to get a hot tub. There is nothing better than first thing in the morning when the sun is rising and it's just bitterly cold out to step inside of that hot tub, to sit there at 103 degree temperature water and just watch the sunrise. It's talk about a meditative experience. I love it. I just absolutely love it.
You've completely sold me on a hot tub. I think I did share with you because for those who don't know, Steve has sent, I think, like 2 pictures. And just random, not like
just
forcefully,
lounging.
Just you like
not
taking
to
it
where
the
it's
moment.
Weird.
Right. Right. In the authentic way, in the like, you literally were having a moment. You're like, I'm gonna share this with Chad because, like, look how, you know, great this is. And you see the water, the steam coming off of the water, and the sun coming up and whatnot. And that's actually what made me want to do that resolution, because as I've adjusted my sleep accordingly, like, I used to be the guy who would, I mean, we've talked about it on the podcast, where I'd go to bed at like 4 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning, or at all hours, and then wake up at, you know, after 3 hours of sleep and just push through because you were hashtag hustling. But no more. Paying mind to the sleep, I think, is very important.
It's better, it's good health to get proper sleep. People overlook that when they're so concerned about diet and exercise, but sleep is that third rail. Very important.
It really is. All right, ready? The next one, you might agree. Hold on, you ready? Not everything is content. is content. And this was a big one because I even ended the end of last year with doing a honey do list video and getting amped about my workshop and some projects and also filming them, working with you with So I was building up to like, great, I'm going to do all of these projects because I wanted to do that. But that was a great reminder of like, look how long it took to do this amount of project because you wanted to film it, edit it, and then put all this, you know, curation behind it. And while I still want to do those videos, I think I'm just going to move away to just like picking more curated projects. And I think the larger point, instead of not everything is content, is my life will inform any content that comes out of it and not the other way. I can't spend time doing things where I think this is interesting because the audience might like this or this might be good in the video. And when you attach all of those things to your real life things, if you know what I mean, like literal honeydew, like the things I need to do are also now kind of dependent upon like the filming and like when things, and I ended up making a bunch of excuses. It's like, oh, I can't do this week because I need to film it for next week and I have to prep. So it was a very easy way to like deflect and not get things done.
How do you feel about that video now that you had a month or two to look back on a little space between there?
It did exactly what it was supposed to do.
So describe what that is. So, well, I could describe it. You have done a series called your Honeydew series on your channel where you take care of various projects around the house that need to be done. And you haven't made one of these types of videos in several years. So you decided to revisit that. And this is just a Chad video on the Clean My Space channel. And in this time, you're setting up kind of a workshop studio space in your basement. And so it was a lot of decluttering. But the point of the video is the way you shot it. It was very cinematic and a lot of work went into this video. And so I'm just kind of curious about what your thoughts were now looking back.
It ended up being the reason why this is a resolution. I was so proud of it. It did exactly what it needed to do, which was I just wanted to make one of those videos again and have fun with it and have a finished project, which I really liked. And I absolutely do. I ended up releasing it at a time where, and maybe we'll talk about this in a minute or in a future episode, but the way YouTube deals with videos now on launch day is completely different than the predictability that we used to kind of know. And there's different, at least with over here in Clean My Space world, like there's different kind of things. And it didn't end up getting very many views at all, along with a bunch of other videos that were kind of released in and around the same time. And for whatever analytical reasons,
but you were kind of expecting that. I remember talking to you thinking, I don't think this is, because it's
the vast majority of the people who watch our videos today,
cleaning a kitchen, you know,
they also weren't around 3 years ago watching those videos when they were like, I mean, clearly there's still a large audience who loved it and I was overwhelmed by the response for it, but it was clearly scaled back a lot. And there's a new audience that is just looking for different type of content. But like I said, it served its purpose. It served my purpose. It was wonderfully selfish and I enjoyed doing it. It's going to put into perspective how I do those videos moving forward. I'm going to be very project driven. I thought it would be fun to be like, hey, look, isn't it cool that like, isn't it relatable that we all have this huge list of things to do? And I'm going to share that and try to figure out the but what a nightmare. It took me 2 months to do one video of like cleaning up the workshop.
You do a lot of work on those videos. So, I was watching that and I'm like, oh man, there's way more effort than I would put into a video.
So my January was spent with the North Star of not everything is content. And I have, I won't even bore everyone with the amount of projects and decluttering projects and things that I've managed to do without filming it and without feeling that need or checking whatever. So that was another one that I had.
Amazing what you can get done when there isn't a camera around.
It's very true. There's one last one, and there was one kind of sub one. The sub one, the small one, which was just something I'm constantly doing, but I thought was important to mention, was continue to reduce my cell phone use. And it kind of connects to my final and most important North Star for 2023, which is to focus more on analog activities, painting, music, writing, hobbies, models, flying my drone, swimming, and most importantly, going and meeting people, going out back into the world, going to VidCon
this year. Looking forward to that. And I never thought I would be going back to VidCon. Last time I went, I was like, I'm pretty much done with this. Here we are.
I feel like it's time to get back out in the world and do like world real life things and stop worrying about what's trending on Twitter or what makes good content for a YouTube video and you know, blink my eyes a little bit and have that Simpsons moment where all the people come out and are rubbing their eyes into the empty streets. I think it was in South Park as well when the internet went down and all these people are like, oh, wait, oh, there's a world out there. It feels that way for me. So there you go. Those are my determinations or resolutions in a nutshell.
Very good. I have a couple. I have two specific things that I'm doing. And it's funny you brought this topic up because I actually am discussing this in my newsletter that's going out this Friday. So it'll actually be out in just 2 days. But yep. I wrote about these couple of things. And one of them is, and I had mentioned this to you before too, is I want to read a book. And I know it's nothing original. A lot of people make this resolution, but I want to read a book every month this year. And a novel, a fiction book, not something I have to read, not something that's going to expand my mind in any way. I'm not trying to learn anything. I just want to enjoy a fiction novel. And I got to thinking, I literally cannot remember the last time I read an actual factual book with pages. I mean, sure, I listen to audiobooks a lot, but it has to have been 15 or more years since I've read a book. And so that's kind of one of my goals that I really am enjoying so far. And I've been able to do it. And it's not something I'm able to do every day. I could if I was more diligent and made that time. But I'm trying to remind myself if I sit down, I don't have to grab my phone, that I can grab that book. It's sitting there right next to my... And so I'm almost done with this first book. I didn't quite finish it in January. It's called The Final Girl Support Group. So it's a horror comedy kind of thing. It's fluff, you know, but it's fun. And I'm enjoying it. I'm not a fast reader. It's something that I'm out of practice on.
Is your reading getting better now that you're doing it?
And my comprehension's getting better. And I still have to have a quiet room. I can't read while anything else is happening. If there's a TV on or even music, I get too distracted.
You notice the distraction.
I'll start to read the same paragraph over and over, and that's really frustrating.
Was the toughest thing at the beginning just like keeping your focus and like finding a space to just like be able to just completely tune out and start focusing on reading?
Yeah, and it actually kind of felt odd to hold a book and to be like, oh yeah, this is what that was like. I've forgotten. It's been so long to sit and try to read it. So that's what I'm doing so far.
Did you have any like in your head digital thoughts while you were reading a book? Like, did you try to right swipe or like control Z?
Oh my God, that's so funny that you've mentioned that. Have you ever tried to like, have you ever read like somebody sent out some brochure or something and they have a link in the physical brochure and try to click
on it?
Oh my God.
Sometimes I'll look at a magazine and I will think about, I won't do it, but I'll think about pinching to try to zoom in on the picture.
Yeah, it's so weird.
But it returns to more analog things, reading.
So to go along with this, the other thing that I really want to do is, I got this coffee maker. I got this espresso machine because I really like good coffee. I've become kind of a coffee snob these days. So I got this espresso machine at Christmas, and I wanted to treat myself to an afternoon coffee break. And so this would be like around between 2 and 3 o'clock, and just have a cup of espresso, a double shot. It's so tiny, you know, you could easily drink it in under 10 minutes. And I started that. And what I found myself doing was I would sit down. Yay, I have this time to just focus on the coffee, but I would also have my phone. And so I'd be scrolling through Instagram. I'd be looking at YouTube. And then in a few minutes, the coffee was gone. And I'm like, wait, I don't even really remember enjoying this. That wasn't the point of this. So now I've modified that whole goal, is that I'm going to still do this on the afternoon, have my afternoon coffee break, but it's a distraction-free zone. I literally have to sit in my own thoughts with a cup of coffee and just enjoy it and try to think. And it's not easy to sit and do nothing. Of course, you've been doing this with your meditation, but I find it, I'm almost anxious or something without my phone, which is really bad to be able to like have this reaction where I'm always reaching for my phone when I have a downtime. You know, it's like my hand just is like magnetic reaching for that phone. So I'm totally on board with you about doing more analog stuff.
Do you get the ghost vibrations in your leg, in your pocket? And you're like, oh, is that my phone? And then you just realize how like beholden you are to this ridiculous small thing. And again, I mean, it started obviously when Riley started paying attention to the world, and you realize how children learn 87.68% of the things they know, they learn just by watching their parents and their, like, whatever, the world around them. And you realize that you can't stand in a Starbucks and wait for a coffee for 38 seconds without, let me just quickly make sure that buzz was not a text message from this conversation. And it just, it feels like such a deliberate intrusion in my life that it feels weird to have to make a resolution to say, I want to like deliberately stop that. But it gets easier. I swear it's so difficult at the beginning. I used to get all of the ghost vibrations in my pants, and then just like, or just having the notifications pop up on your phone. If you don't have to like either it turns the screen on or it gives a chime, and then there's some people that mute them or they vibrate, but it's still like whatever the indicator is, it's enough to distract you from like the real world. And then I just started existing in the real world and seeing how many people are in their little silos around me, so it became easier to stand and wait for a Starbucks coffee for a minute or something like that, and just, you know, slowly stare at all of the people who are usually just sitting around on their phone. And I'm trying to teach Riley to just always be aware of your surroundings. Just like, just know stuff, know where all the different doors are, like where the windows are in a place, or who are the different people in it. Like, look around, know what they're, just, it's nice. Spatial awareness is really important, especially because we really do. We bury our chins into our necks.
We do.
We look down. I almost hit someone who was crossing the road, just looking down at their phone. Yeah. Like, why would you cross the road while looking at your phone?
Because we're all addicted. But, and I'm not one of these people who is like anti-technology or anything. And I'm not even anti-phone. It's just how I use the phone I don't like. And I think that a lot of people are struggling with that, because there's certainly so many good features with having a phone that I don't want to give up. I need to be able to text people, and I need all of this stuff. I mean, I say I need it. Of course, you can argue that I don't really technically need it, but at this point, it's part of
my
flow of communication that I need to be able to text people and this sort of thing. But 80% of what I do on the phone is just bullshit.
That's the other thing. Just get bored of doing it. I got bored of opening Reddit and reading the same type of news that would make me feel a certain way, going to comments to read other people's opinion about a news, and then realizing it's like, man, this happened in a different country. This completely irrelevant to like whatever. And then you look at
it. Have you seen this movie, Megan? You probably haven't seen it, but it's the AI robot. It was a January release. It's like my favorite film of the year so far. I just absolutely love this movie.
No, what is it?
So Megan is this, I guess it should be like an android, this woman created, and she's like a doll for her niece who has lost her parents. And so she's very, I guess, aware. It's so cool the way that she talks to the girl and establishes, she like paired with the girl. And it becomes sort of this horror comedy thing. But it makes a bigger point of that they're using this technology to basically parent the child. And there comes a point where the child cannot be without this doll, because it's so lifelike and so paired to her. And it started with her iPad. She was just on the iPad using that all the time. And then it's progressed up to this. And so it's... you know, it's one of these slippery slope arguments, but I think we can see that now with a lot of parents, the way the iPad has just replaced a lot of time when kids probably should learn to just spend time in their heads and to think and I
be bored.
I don't know if that makes me just sound or just be bored. There's
every single child psychiatrist and doctor suggests your kids should get square with being bored. They have to. You have to.
And that was kind of part of this movie, was that since this girl had lost her parents, this doll she has was making her so happy. She would do these dances, which are now
constantly
all over TikTok. And always. And it was like, you need to feel bad sometimes.
You do.
So my other resolution, and it's not, this is my big picture one that can't be quantified, is that I want to listen more, shut my mouth more. And this is kind of contradictory to that one, but the other one is I want to talk to strangers more. So yeah. On one end, I want to listen more. On the other end, I want to talk to people. And this just means interacting in a little bit more than just a superficial matter. If I go to get a cup of coffee, I don't want to say I'll take an Americano. I'll take it black. Thank you. Bye. That's it. I want to actually ask the person something about, and not just the weather, and not just, but ask something that might be meaningful or just interesting.
Memorable. I've done that without, like, I've tried, like, it's just been a thing that I started noticing was happening organically because of all of this other stuff. And it's like, I just realized that because my head was in a better place, I just enjoyed engaging with strangers.
Yes.
And just like, retail people or whatever, and just having a little fun or trying to make someone's day
make
a little
their
brighter.
Day better, because most of that work sucks
and it
too
made my
and they need
day bright because you usually get someone who will look at you and just give you a big smile or like engage or like relate in some way about a something or other.
One of the things I like to do is if I go to a restaurant I haven't been to before is just ask the waiter, what do you recommend, what do you like on this menu, or even better, what do you want me to try?
Yeah, that's a Melissa Maker move. She's like, what should I have here? Like, as far as you're concerned. Yeah, no, I get that. That's a good one. I do it at the bank. I do it just in everywhere where you've gotten so used to, and now I pay attention to the people who don't even put their phone down when they're doing a transaction. And then just like do the head nod or a wink to the person as they hand them the receipt or something like that.
Yeah. So Wyatt's been working in retail for a while now, and And I used to work in retail many, many years ago. And so a lot of these stories he has, I can relate to. But his experience has been, and is that the people who interact with him the most, and maybe it's because he's young, are younger people. He said, usually it's people over the age of 40 or so who are on their phones. They barely look up. They just bark an order and then leave.
I could see that. I could see that a younger generation that's much more familiar with the technology would be more familiar with the importance of... Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Could be. But so maybe that's hope. I don't know.
I like to think so. I like to think that Riley's generation, we will be having a good laugh at all of us dum-dums who just got so... Again, that pendulum coming back to the... Like, of course, your points were valid. We need all of this stuff. It's very important, but not while you're sitting in the airport. Take a moment just to sit in the airport and look at all the other stupid
it's
people
fun.
Around. No, it's very
fun.
True. And you learn so much. Like
I'm
you
better
just,
than that guy.
You know what? And actually, to the contrary, it ends up stopping that. Because the reason why we want to be on our phone is because we just form our little echo chamber social circles that, and we just read articles that reaffirm all the things that we want to hear about things and passing judgment. I find when you actually take the time to do exactly what you said, talk to engage with the way you, it's amazing how like different things are when, and to your earlier point of like necessarily talking to strangers and trying to listen more being contradictory, they kind of are the same. You're trying to listen more and you're trying to find more people to listen to, which is a great one.
Yeah, I mean, people love to talk about themselves, and if you can tap into that, you can actually end up with a pretty good conversation without it being you talking about yourself all the time.
And they feel like they can just open up and talk to you and be like, wow, Steve's a great, it's very true. It used to be a piece of dating advice I remember that I got a long time ago. It's just like, listen to the other person. Just be like, talk about what
I don't
they
feel like I'm reinventing the wheel with any of this stuff. But to me, it's like, these are almost like you say, affirmations, things that this is more of a bigger picture of how I want to view myself and how I would like other people to view me, especially on these first impressions. I don't want to be the guy who when you first see, you've seen these people and they may be perfectly nice people, but they go around with a scowl on their face and they will order the drink at Starbucks with just,
yeah,
you know, give me a black coffee.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, maybe you're a nice person, but that's a bad first impression. And I just don't want that in my life.
Yeah, it's true. And you only put out there what you're feeling inside anyway. So if you're putting out good stuff and yeah, that's what I get. Good on us, Steve. Yeah. And if anybody's listening wants to go to VidCon, you can come and hang out with...
See us.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe some
We're trying to get a bunch of people to go together so we can have a meetup. I'd like to... And the only reason that either one of us really wants to go to VidCon is just to meet up with people that we haven't seen either ever in real life or people we haven't seen in a while. And I think it's a good excuse to get together, even though the VidCon itself is... something of a zoo. It's an event. And maybe I'll go to a couple of those panels, you know, that sit in on them.
I think it'd be just kind of be fun to be back in that zoo energy again. Yeah. I didn't really care for it back in 2018 or 2019 or 2020 or whatever. I feel right now I'm ready for that. But I'm, like you said, I'm also ready for all of the other stuff outside. Like
I think if you go there with the knowledge that it's going to be crazy and you just try to embrace the crazy. It's like going to Disneyland. Okay, you know it's going to be busy, you know, and you have to just go with it with the mindset of like, okay, I'm going to love being around these many people. I'm going to love everything about that.
And there's like a lottery component to it with pretty good odds actually, but a lottery component to it where you're going to bump into another creator or hopefully some other creators. And man, when creators connect like that and like they become contemporaries and all of the rest, it's like the best because that's where I first met Steve Ramsey.
Yeah. And that's where it's fun. Those conversations are great because you already have a whole bunch in common when you're talking about somebody who makes YouTube videos, because you're not just talking about YouTube because nobody makes just YouTube videos. You've got to talk about Instagram and the culture of TikTok.
It's funny. And, and why your videos.
How is YouTube being ruined?
It's very true. Hey, actually, do you think YouTube... what do you think of YouTube right now, right today, February 1st, 2023? What's your...
I think it's in a better place now than it was a year ago. But I think they're squaring away some of the problems that a lot of creators had with YouTube, especially involving the whole short form content. And I think that's probably the biggest issue that everybody's been facing. But it seems to me they've kind of got that shit figured out. They've got the shorts are now, they don't show up in your feed unless, I think on desktop they might, but on, I rarely watch videos on the desktop, but on the phone, you have to go to that shorts shelf to see shorts. They don't just pop up in your feed, which has solved that problem. And so I don't get any of those comments anymore about how I hate shorts. This is ruining the... platform. They've managed to separate those two things pretty well. And the long form content, also clearly YouTube wants people to make longer form content.
Yes.
You know, 30 minute videos or more seem to be doing really well. And so that's where I am.
That's what you're doing. What's the sweet spot for a woodworking with mere mortals video right now?
Well, it seems to be the longer the better. I don't think there's any cap on it at this point. I think the longest one I've done so far is maybe 30 to 31 minutes. And still the engagement and the views and everything on those is great. The income you make on those, crazy compared to making a 10 minute. It seems like the dead zone is 7 to 12 minutes. In there is like just death.
That's literally the time that we're hoping, that we're banking on that time, actually. Actually, this will be a fantastic time capsule. February 1st, 2023, Chad said that his focus is actually just slightly shorter than that. I think the new sweet spot is going to be like 4 to 7 minutes.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I find quite like when, remember when the magic number was 10 minutes so you could get the mid-roll ad?
Right.
And everybody started doing like super long title cards or like super long outros and stuff like that just to extend the time. And I think we've kind of come out of the shorts fascination somewhat. It seems to be like less
maybe
amplified
on YouTube. Yeah,
yeah. And as someone, as two people who have released more than a few shorts now and seen success with some, it seems very isolated and unpredictable, and quite like how the TikTok algorithm works. It just seems to be this like it's more of like a tabloid style engagement with content, and like creators are like, yeah, I guess I'll kind of put some work into it. But even like I saw Kevin from Epic Gardening, his last two shorts have like 7 million and 12 million views respectively. And then he released another short, and you know, within a day it has like 4,000 views, and it's just like there's this weird like
it's radically different numbers. Yeah, that's the TikTok kind of experience.
And you've been doing this long enough to know that like there is no like, if I were to ask you like what makes a good short, like you'd be able to do like, oh, you're kind of do this and this is what whatever, but like beyond that, like you really truly don't know. You could do something that you thought worked over and over.
Yes,
and over
you know
again.
What my most popular short is? Number, it's sitting at number one easily. It was the last one I posted, which was just a week ago, which was a clip, literally a clip from my long 30-minute video that I posted a week before that. And I thought, this is nothing, because this is no effort. All I'm doing is literally just taking a chunk of this video, a 1-minute chunk, and making a short out of it. And that's my number one short.
So it's strange. It's almost like we're doing it just because it's like something that, and again, to your point of like YouTube creators talking about like, oh, I'm not big enough on Instagram, or I'm not doing enough over here. It's just like another thing to get away from the core of, yeah, of what a YouTuber is doing. And the challenge, my experience has been, now that I'm getting, my attention is turning more towards like who right now on the platforms making good long form content. And I was trying to say earlier that the 10-minute videos made people just kind of push their videos longer and not really fill it with anything good. And one of the issues that I'm having, even with content creators who I really like, is they're A, trying to push out content on this weird, like, oh, I got attention now, so I'm going to keep releasing videos and keep stepping it up. And like making the content unnecessarily longer, like literally just trying to fulfill a video. Like,
that's what I'm doing.
I'm starting to see the time be the same, but the actual valuable content within said video is starting to drain away. And some of the people that are getting lost in their, whatever their niches or their brand or the way they say something or their effects, like whatever. And it's like, you're not doubling down on information. Like, cause the docuseries, that's what people like. Here's a little subject, mm-hmm, and here's a 15-minute video about it. But it's like, once I eliminate the sponsored spot and all the fluff and the endless, mm-hmm, amounts of stock video, it's like, you got a very short video here. And we're hopefully going to go back to the time where, and this was our bread and butter from 2014 or 2015, was 3 to 5 minute video. So someone can learn how to, yeah, clean their sink, have enough information within a video to perform the task properly, and also not, you know, be filled with, hey guys, how you doing? In the last fit, like, just, hey, how you doing? Today we're going to be a return to the basics.
Are you saying that you think video content is going to start, or YouTube is going to start promoting those types, shorter videos again? 3 to 5 minutes? Or are you talking just for you guys that's going to work?
No, I think right now everyone's looking for longer form content. Like, what is the, like, the shorts content was interesting because it's like, what can you do within 30 seconds? And now it's right, like, okay, great. Now the pendulum swing is like, oh, now I want a cool 30-minute video. And I, mm-hmm, guess what my larger point is like, before, when there were a smaller group of people putting more work into these, they were very good videos. Grady from Practical Engineering makes amazing, yeah, long videos, because they're just like, there's so much effort put into them. But now it's to hit a metric. Now it's to like, oh, a docu video needs to be 22 minutes long. If someone sees a 12-minute video, they're not going to see that. So people are playing with times and replacing, mm-hmm, that for the value of the content. What I'm saying is, we moved from shorts, which we realized was just vapid and empty of really any value. And then we said, let's do the complete opposite. So now it seems like we're interested in this. So I'm wondering where it settles. And does, yeah, it settle at 10 minutes? No, because that's where we were before, where people, like, I think it settles with, again, 3 to 5 minutes, which is how long a video should take for me to learn a basic, like at least as far as cleaning is concerned, and maybe for woodworking, instead of a 38-minute long video, you could accomplish the same thing in 12 minutes or whatever, and being more efficient with the time and the content.
Well, I mean, that's exactly it, because for years, that was my goal, was to shoot a video in under 10 minutes, and it was always kind of, that's what worked, and I got really good at knowing what to shoot, how to shoot. I would shoot like maybe a total of 25 minutes of footage for a 10-minute video. I mean, I was real efficient at shooting, turning off the camera and being done with it. And now it's a totally different thing I'm trying to do, where I'm shooting massive amounts of footage just so that I can do a voiceover with it. These things are performing really well. And I think, at least in my last video, I've been trying to combine talking directly to the camera with the voiceover, kind of going back and forth. And people seem to like that format. And I'm not saying I don't like doing it this way, but I almost, honestly, I feel like it's a bit of a cheat, because I feel like doing the voiceover part for me is hard because I'm not used to it. Mm-hmm. But man, this is so much easier to shoot video, just set up a camera and shoot. And I think maybe that's why people are doing it, because I used to, and I think kind of like what you were saying, is that to craft an 7 to 8 minute video, I could easily, these last couple videos I've made that are 30 minutes long, I could have easily have made those in 7 minutes videos, easily. And it would have been, in my estimation, a better video, because I could have been more concise and gotten right to it and everything. But in this format, I'm doing more of like, I'll expand on sort of my philosophy behind what I'm doing. And it's just more of a casual, and maybe that's just what people want right now, is they just want to listen to somebody just rambling on about stuff.
Or just like the authentic, like you come from a place of like making a video because it made sense. I always remember like common sense just being the thing. Like, of course you want to say hi and say your name and introduce a video, but you always wanted to, like, I always remember, like, get someone's attention within the first 8 seconds. And it turned from get someone's attention in any way you can, regardless of how you get it, and regardless of whether it's related to the content. So therefore, you can just kind of get the click and get the engagement, as opposed to just being able to search something and seeing a video which has a short amount of time associated with it and be able to confidently click on it and know you're going to get what you need. You're going to change a tire or clean your toilet or prepare a small wood, like a project or something like that. And maybe that's what I'm getting. I'm starting to look at what I've always looked for. And I know if I'm needing to change a tire, I probably would be able to get effective information out in about 5 minutes. If the guy didn't, you know, spend all his call to actions and his sub calls.
So much bullshit.
And
the
one comment that I've noticed we still get today, and we used to get back in 24, we got at any point when we made videos too long, we always got those people that are just like, just shut up. You talk way too much. And as much as there's been this constant balancing act of figuring out how to do personnel, like you would know this, you're Steve, so you also need to put some Steve-ness. If it was all just woodworking, that's boring, so you need to put some Steve-ness into it. But then there's walking that line where it's like, now you're just being frivolous with my time, and that's the biggest thing I have to invest in you. So I'm starting to respect the viewer more, and it's like, I can get this information out and I can cut out a bunch of stuff which I'm only putting in because it's best practice according to my business model and financially, and because according to YouTube. And it's been frustrating because Shorts literally just made it where it was less about content and more about timestamps. And if we literally learned anything from Shorts, it's like, let's return to like context and like valuable content, as opposed to worrying about how long it necessarily has to be.
Do you think that search is just kind of, I don't want to say dead, but irrelevant anymore?
Search for anything? Have you ever tried to search for a review on a camera or a television?
Well, I guess the question is, is creating new videos for searches important anymore? Because like you said, if I won't need to replace a hinge on a door, those videos are already out there. If you wanted to search for them, it's going to be there. Is there any point in creating content for search when that's not really how most people, sure, there's people who are looking for very specific things. None of those videos usually are going to get huge amounts of views. I mean, I have lots of them myself, but I can attest to, like, I did this video recently about here are the tools you need to get started in woodworking.
And the basics, yeah.
I think it's a hugely important video, and I wanted it prominent right on my channel. 10 out of 10. It's easily the least viewed video because I think it only appeals to either people searching for that specific thing, what tools do I need to get started, or people who are just brand new to my channel and they go to my channel page and they're looking, because I've done that myself on other things that I get interested in, is I go to their channel page and then I think, oh, here's a thing that shows me everything I need to get started. But that's a small percentage of people watching videos, which is why it was 10 out of 10. But I still think there's so much value in that video, and it's so important to me to have that on my channel that I'm not disappointed in it, you know.
Well, it's important it's important to produce content for new viewers who don't need, like, you constantly need to have, as Tim Schmoyer puts it, like, different content buckets, which you like try to achieve different goals. I'm trying to do a call to action to make money off of this video. This needs to just be a video for new, you know, watchers. This needs to be a video which serves the subscriber base well. And you, like you said, release a video and you just kind of know it's gonna, you know, wah, wah.
But you know what is working now? And this is going to be my really bitchy moment here, because this is just driving me crazy, is in the maker space. How many people are just there clearly to play the YouTube game? It just absolutely, I just pulled up a channel. I bought a crazy woodworking machine. Next one, this project almost killed me. This will make me thousands. Yeah. And so it's all of this ridiculous, they're not even really making projects. They're not teaching anything. I guess it's for entertainment, but when I see these faces on these thumbnails, it's such a huge turnoff to me. It's like, I'm not watching that fucking video, not with your face up there screaming at me like that. But that's my bitchy moment, man.
But it's true. It's all a show. Like, there's no value associated with that. No.
And see, this is another thing, is that I don't even know what value is.
It's like,
YouTube.
You know what? It's DIY flexing. Instead of like showing off your Lamborghini, you're showing off that you went to a thrift store, you found a $3 table. You probably spent 180 hours off camera putting all this effort into making it look good in your 4-minute video, and then claiming you sold it for $1,500 profit and not factoring in any of the time that you dumped into the thing. I have seen that go crazy. The amount of maker channels which are like, I found this and I get it. It's been the bread and butter of like HGTV.
Well, you got this in the cleaning space too. I sent you that thumbnail the other day.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
The greatest cleaning video
This is the
ever.
Greatest cleaning video ever. I mean, literally, I think that's what it said. Like, wow, that's a pretty bold statement there.
Here's my sagest piece of advice that I can give to a content creator who's like been doing this for like years and years and years and is really worried about doing the same videos that they have done before, even if it's the same videos that have done incredibly successful before. Go and look at your most recent videos, or go and look at your analytics for the past 28 days or 60 days. Look at how many people are subscribed to you and how many people are new viewers. Usually that number is like 60 to 80% new people. So as much as like you think about you releasing a video and getting 100,000 views, 60 to 80,000 of those views are people who don't know you, don't know about your old video, don't know about your viral video, don't know whatever. And somehow in the grand magical world of YouTube ended up finding you through this one video. And it's kind of like casting lures out the back of a fishing boat, because as much as you can do it by having like really attractive, shiny, sparkly lures, but don't actually have any content to it, you want to be the person who maybe has worms on the hooks and it's like it's reliable and it's predictable and it's more of a long term. But I guarantee you, going through and doing all of the videos which you have success with, again, pretty much you can maybe get away with it every year, but at least every other year is is a gift. It's a gift to YouTube because they were naturally going to click on or promote a more recent video. It gives you an opportunity to correct things, try things again, do a different approach to the video or whatever. And there's just this weird feeling, and we've been dealing with it for years as opposed to the past little while, which we've now really kind of leaned into, the value of us having a how to clean your toilet video, how to clean your sink, how to clean your shower every 2 years is very important. And we found some people like that the information is updated and all of the rest. So it's just like this weird thing that YouTubers have where it's like you feel like, oh, they're all going to be like, oh, you've officially run out of ideas. Or the thing that we've talked about on this podcast before, where it's like, oh, this is a dead channel because you're doing it's the best possible thing you can do to your channel because you're giving new and you're doing the best. It worked before. It'll work again. It's a brand new audience and it's your banger content. So.
And you can add more information to it too. I mean, I'm making a project right now, this little step stool that I prototyped last summer in a couple of different ways. And I'm making it again this time because I have so much more to say about it. Now that I've done those quick little ones, I know exactly what to say and how to make this really interesting this time. So this is going to be a really cool video. And here's the good thing is I can make this step stool and incorporate those because I shot two shorts on these little prototypes I was making that are going to offer alternatives to the way I'm making it in this video. So again, I can help kind of extend this out and make this a full story video. I'm having a lot of fun with these.
It's nice to enjoy making videos again too, because it feels like you're trying to like you're readjusting kind of your focus to like the information, not everything else.
And you know what I like doing is I like talking to these creators who are maybe fairly new to the channel or don't have large audiences and who are really good at what they do and they make really good videos. And they have such excitement and fun, and it shows in their videos, and they're not just... And then if I talk to them and I ask them, well, how are your videos doing? Do you ever look at analytics? And they're like, no, what is that? How do I get to that? They're just like gleefully ignorant about the whole YouTube game. And I just really like that. It's very appealing to watch those kind of channels because it just, it seems so authentic,
you know, organic.
haven't been jaded by the YouTube beast.
It's very true. And is it nice doing project videos again? Like literally just like hands-on doing a project?
Yeah, I love it. And I'm glad that I can do these because for the longest time, project videos, you remember me saying they're just dead in the water. And I think it was because it was those short form projects, 10 minutes, that people just want a long... As soon as I started doing these long format project videos with a voiceover, the views just started going back up again. So I'm like, great, that's what I'll do.
Your choice of projects is perfect too. The drawer organ, I told you, I texted that to you. I was like, I was such an inspiring project because it was like, here's something, literally save you money. It's a very easy project. Relatively speaking, it's all wood that's like, or the end project ends up inside a drawer. So no matter how bad you fuck it up, it's in a drawer. Like, no,
it's fine.
And to your point, it's literally one of the most like, go and find me a reasonably priced drawer organizer that will actually fit my specific custom drawers in my house. So I love the fact that you can take measurements and, you know, this is my ladle and I'm going to fit it to size, you know, all of my stuff.
I think that's my niche on YouTube, and it really has been, but I'm just trying to lean more into it, is I'm not making videos to show off what I'm making. I think that seems to be where most people are these days, is they try to make something the bigger, the better, the more flashier that hasn't been done before. And I think I'm content to kind of stay in this lane and think, okay, somebody needs to offer a resource for people who don't have the skills and they don't have the money for all the expensive tools, and I'm going to just show you a good way to do it. And I know I can do this because I've been doing this stuff for years.
Have you noticed, like, what are you watching on? Like, do you get excited about anything on YouTube anymore? I sadly can say, I mean, obviously, aside from anybody who happens to be listening who has a YouTube channel, and I love all of those channels, and I watch all of those videos. But outside of all of those videos, I find it really hard to watch. Like, it seems like everybody's just kind of like running in.
I'll find new channels that I get heavily involved in for a short time, and then I sort of, for one reason or other, just kind of stop watching them. But they're usually, what happens if I find a channel that I really like, I just go full board into watching it for a while, and then I stop watching. I don't know why it is.
It's that binge watching Netflix model that Netflix is now trying to move on from, I think, or at least some shows are trying to move on from, because you know what? It does kind of make sense. There's one of those other things where it's like, hey, we thought everything just on demand all at once and just go and whatever. Like, no, you know what was kind of cool? Just watching an episode of a show a week and not spending an entire
thinking about the next episode and
your entire exactly. So
yeah, it's fun. I always enjoyed that. I mean, who will ever forget? Did you watch Star Trek Next Generation when it came out? I don't know if you were
Star Trek Next Generation is my favorite show of all time.
Yeah,
and it's a show that I've watched more than any other show on the.
Did you watch it originally when it came out, or did you first watch it in syndication?
I watched it in syndication only because I wasn't a Star Trek fan at mid-90s or whenever it was actually running. I like Star Trek, but I got heavily into it after.
One of my greatest memories of episodic television ever was the cliffhanger on The Best of Both Worlds, the Borg show. Yeah. Okay, so we saw this. I started watching it when that show first came out, and we would watch it, Kathy and I would watch it every week. And that was when shows would take the summer break, you know? And when that episode ended and Riker's like, fire! And then it goes blank. I was like, holy shit, no way! And I remember just waiting that whole summer, like, I cannot wait for this show to come back to see what happens in there. It was great. And with binge watching, you don't get that.
The impact of that moment would be lost because it would be,
It would just autoplay, right?
Riker would put
one.
His leg up, because Riker would always put his leg up on something, and he would lean and he would go and it's fire, and then like the Netflix thing would come up, and next episode in 13, 12, 11, and then you would just watch it, and then you'd realize that, well, no spoilers on Best of Both Worlds Part 2.
It's past the point of spoilers. Okay, it's been a few years.
Is there a statute of limitation on spoilers?
Yeah, there is.
I guess so.
But I do kind of, and you know, those autoplay things drives me. I wish there was a way to turn that off.
Stop. And stop when I stop on a thumbnail autoplaying. Like within 3 seconds of like you're scrolling through a thing and you stop and it just starts autoplaying
on videos. YouTube videos. Yeah. YouTube videos. And so, you know what I've done is because we will share videos sometimes on the TV, YouTube videos. Wyatt and I will each have our phone and we're like casting different videos that we want to see on there. And it always drives me crazy because it wants to go to like the next one in my watch later feed automatically. And it's nothing that he's interested in or is something that...
And you got to struggle to get the remote.
I try to hit the pause on the app like right at the last second of the video because
it's too late and now you press play and you're watching.
And sometimes you have to do a double pause because what people do is they put like their little subscribe card on right in the center of the end screen so that if you push that it's going to pop up that subscribe card. So you
have to
click
away first. That's an amazing hack. That's a great.
I see that all the time. It drives me crazy because he can't just
put it right in the middle.
Just press right in the center.
How many subscribers we'll get?
It'll work. Sub for sub, man. That's the way to get subscribers.
That is actually the secret. If you want another hack, my other piece of sage advice is go in the comments and say sub for sub.
Sub for sub. You don't see that too much anymore, do you?
No.
It used to be a thing.
No.
It used to be real popular when YouTube had friends.
Remember?
Yeah, because all the comments would be like, hey, sub for sub, sub for sub. Nobody was producing content in those. It was just all sub for sub.
One of my interesting talking points for the podcast was literally that. Kind of resolution for the Clean My Space brand is to return to that personal connection, the same thing that people initially saw and all of the rest. and embodying what YouTube kind of used to be like. And I was like, oh, remember there used to be a friends tab? Remember there used to be a wall and you could come to someone's channel and be like, yeah, your videos are really great. Thanks for, you know, you can check out mine if you want.
I wonder how many people look at it. I don't even know if YouTube has that as an analytic, a way to tell how many people actually look at your channel page. Do they have that? Is that a thing?
No. And there's no way to actually just send a message to send a thing to the channel without it being lost in comments. Because sometimes we'll meet someone and be like, oh, here's my channel. And I want to be like, oh, leave a comment and then I'll be able to see your user. But it's like we get like hundreds of comments a day. So it's like impossible to like just send a message to the owner of a YouTube. It always has to go to the about page, find their email address. I'm correct, right? There's no messaging system on YouTube that I'm aware of.
Well, only if you do that email thing, if you connect, you know, it's in
but
the
that
about
would be
page.
Yeah, it's kind of separate. No, you're still using a different.
There's no DM or anything.
There's no DMs. Interesting. Yeah.
You know what I wanted to bring up to you real briefly before we go, and maybe I should save this for the next time, but I texted this to you and I thought it was so cool, is that when on Spotify, if you're watching or listening to a podcast and you want, oh, I'll follow that, it won't let you follow it until you've listened to like two or three episodes. It'll be like this pop-up window comes up and says, hey, why don't you listen to some more of this before you follow it to make sure you like it. And I thought, wow, this is pretty cool. I wonder how that would be on YouTube. I kind of wish YouTube had a thing where like, okay, you've actually got to watch three videos before you could subscribe to a channel and make that subscription actually mean something.
Yeah, and like a certain percentage of, like you have to watch 40% of three videos. You have to have a certain amount of watch time. You literally just need to watch whatever 30-minute, like an accumulated. Same with what they wait for you to get 4,000 hours of view time before you can monetize. 10
Boy,
minutes.
Talk about pissing off creators! If you did that,
you would stop that. Hey, you know, we both have talked about this on this podcast where you launch a video, and 3 seconds later, there's a dislike, and it's like you have not. You have not even, you literally just clicked the link and then you pressed dislike. I know who you are. So that should stop. Mind you, no one can see the dislike number anymore. So I guess it doesn't matter.
Yeah, they should put it back with a name associated with everybody who dislikes too. So you could actually see who they are. Along with their home address, telephone number.
Yes, IP address, physical location.
I don't know. Just something to think about. I think that would be cool if you had to actually watch a few videos before you could subscribe. You have to take that subscription a little bit more seriously.
I think that's a great feature request. And I think the next time we come together on this podcast, which is going to be next week, by the way, because that was the other, I'm adding that to my resolutions list right now.
I put it on mine.
Podcast each week, because this is my favorite time of the week. And I was so excited about doing this again. So, what we were just talking about before I brought up the podcast thing, you were saying
having to watch videos before subscribing.
So let's make the next time we come together be where we talk about features we wish YouTube had. Because that is a feature.
I'd like
that
to flesh that out a little bit more. I don't think that would never happen because too many people are so invested in those subscription numbers. But man, that would certainly make that more genuine.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's going to be the guiding principles of 2023 and content creation is we're going back to relatability and just good common sense content. You heard it here.
I relate to you, Chad. I relate to you.
I relate to you, and that's why we have this podcast.
Thanks for listening, everybody.